Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 160 of D&D Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Bonhopper. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I just got hit with a revelation that you and I talked about, and it still kind of threw me a little bit for a loop, so that's about it, really.
Is it okay that we've been doing this for like 7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. And also, off the top, apologies, because we missed an episode worth of time, yeah. Essentially. It's life has been crazy. Summer has been crazy. Ben had his air conditioning go out, which in Arizona, not a great thing.
Well, no, the good news there was just a leak to it, and we were still able to use the air conditioning, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing a show anymore.
No, it would be a puddle.
Yeah. Along with it.
But it did cause a massive amount of furniture to have to be moved, mm-hmm. and computers to be inaccessible for quite a period of time.
Yeah. But so no, we're good now, and
we're back.
Heck, that's why you
got a lot
voice.
To talk about. we've got a lot just to talk about. Stuff has backed up a bit.
We're gonna skip
really funny,
like every three words or so just to fit everything in. So we're gonna start that now, saying new, good, awesome. Yeah. That's the entire topic right there.
And this is going to be even crazier, and I'm glad we were able to sneak this in, because and we'll talk about this shortly, but Gen Con is going to be happening this upcoming week, and Wizards always announces quite a bit of stuff at Gen Con, so we've got to get all the stuff they announced before that, yeah. So that next time, next episode, we can talk about all the cool Gen Con stuff. So Ben, let's dive in real fast, because there's a lot of mm-hmm. lot of stuff to talk about, and we also have a really good topic that came from a listener question that we want to cover in this episode. So first off, real fast, we have our D&D Beyond July drop. Again, this is for your Hero and Master tier subscribers on D&D Beyond. We are getting para elementals, martial feats, and more. So we're getting four new elementals. We got some new elemental maps for the maps VTT, as well mm-hmm. as 12 para elemental stickers. We also have a few new magic items, a few new feats, and they actually have a really good article, and we'll link this in the show notes, where they actually have a little like section called Detect Thoughts. Which is basically them kind of talking about the options, like the why behind them and a little bit of the background.
Yeah. And I mean, just for a quick brief thing, a para elemental is essentially where planes converge. So like where the air plane and the fire plane converge, that's where the plane of ash is. Air and water, plane of ice. Earth and fire is magma, and then like earth and water is ooze. So
yeah, which is super cool. So you were getting ice elementals, magma elementals, mud elementals, and smoke elementals.
Yeah.
So the mixing of the elements. So yeah, they're all CR6. They all have new art for them, which is super cool. I love that they're doing a lot of like just art for these drops as well for the monsters, mm-hmm. and they look really cool.
Yeah,
so we'll have a link to it. Obviously, if you're subscribed, you get it, and if you're not, as they said, I think it was a month or two ago now, they are going to be rolling all these up into a pack at least yearly,
yep.
that you can then purchase and have forever without having to have the subscription to access the content. So if you are subscribed or want to for some of this, you can, and if not, you can wait for the roundup pack.
Yeah, exactly. It's some cool stuff, and I mean, it's just a small thing that they gave us this month, which was really great.
I really do like this as an added extra for subscribing.
Yeah,
it is kind of nice.
I agree.
A little
instead of
extra.
A background for your character sheet, which you can't see the artwork because your character sheet is over it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that does make me want to stay subscribed more.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, for those who use the Maps VTT on D&D Beyond, they just added condition tracking, which is, of course, extremely handy to have, especially in big fights where lots of conditions can be thrown out. So now in the token menu on Maps, they have a condition tracking menu that you can pop open and then, you know, just click on, oh, how many levels of exhaustion do I have? Blinded, charmed, like pretty much any of the main, paralyzed, stunned, restrained, any of the main ones that you might have. I was looking at the conditions and effects. The one I didn't see was concentration. I think that would be
a really
nice one to have too.
Like when you're in person, you know, there's different things like Hunter's Mark and, you know, Bless. And, you know, that's why a lot of people have those like condition tracker, like rings to put around their figures and stuff. Like having
very that handy
sort of stuff, I think would be great if we can add to that as well. So I, as the VTT person on the show, I am happy that they're adding this. One thing that I wish that it did was put the little symbol for what it is on the tile. Cause as it is, you have to click on it in order to see what conditions are applied to it. So, I mean, aside from like, you know, putting a ring around it so that, you know, there's some sort of condition there. I think having like the actual symbol around it or something would be a little bit better than what it is. But that being said, I'm still happy that it's something, you know, available to everybody. And the neat thing is too, is that, if you do add a condition to like a player's token, that will automatically go to their character sheets on D&D Beyond. So, you know, hit that.
That integration is nice.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, that integration is nice. So obviously this is the first iteration, but again, just another nice handy thing as their VTT gets more and more feature rich and mm-hmm. usable. Okay, so other big thing, we got a new book coming. Season of Magic is almost upon us. Releasing September 15th, Arcana Unleashed is the gameplay expansion for players and DMs for tools for high magic worlds and characters. And then the Arcana Unleashed Deadfall is a high-level, high-stakes adventure that drops characters into the... I think it's Zaztam.
Mm-hmm.
Zaztam, yeah. The Lich, if you watch the D&D movie, which if you haven't, you should.
It's
phenomenal. And I really wish they would make a sequel because I loved that movie so much. And they sandwiched it between John Wick and Mario. And it was probably one of the worst release windows that they could have possibly done.
You know, I saw online somewhere, I don't remember where, who said it. I cannot give credit to it, but I did not come up with this. But in fact, it might have even been in our Discord, I think. But someone said that wouldn't it be great if the sequel was the same actors, but they were different characters. Like it was the second, like, you know, a different campaign of them running through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that
it would be very meta.
So great. I love that idea. Like, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of, you know, the same characters running through because they were really good characters. I really enjoyed them. But then... throwing him into a different position or something, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I don't know how well that would translate to like general audience.
Not at all. Not at all.
That would be very hard, but as like an in joke, yes, that would be really funny. So for Arcana Unleashed, you are going to get 8 new subclasses steeped in the arcane, and we'll talk about those in a second. 9 factions and a society run on magic, 10 new backgrounds, evolving magic items, which is a new system, as well as 45 and more arcane treasures, 19 magical creatures in the bestiary, archmages specializing in every school of magic, spell warp, darken beast, living spells, and Venger, the immortal CAR 17 mage from the old cartoon if I am not mistaken.
I think so. And know what? If he's immortal, how do you beat him?
Guess we'll have to wait for his stat block. You can expand your spell book with 33 new spells and over 20 new feats, as well as there is a small, like, level one or two session adventure that is built for, like, a jumping off point that the book is also going to contain. Mm-hmm. So, super cool with that. And then Deadfall is the adventure book, obviously. The thing I really like about this is that they're going one of the like first 5/5 adventure books. They're going full level 11 through 20 with over 20 dedicated maps, a gazetteer detailing the fractured magocracy and like the red mages, six high CR creatures, including a stat block for Tam, and 14 new magical items, including powerful Thayan relics. So that will be pretty cool. I love, I mean, if you've been listening to this for any amount of time, you've probably heard more than once, I love me some high level stuff. I love high level D&D. I love when it is taught well. And so I really hope this adventure book is done well. Because I know, like, Eva Vecna was apparently good, but had a lot of, like, issues as a high-level adventure. So I really hope that this one, being the self-contained story, being fully 5/5, I'm hoping they'll knock this one out of the park, and it'll be a really good example to point to of this is how... you can do a structured module, high level D&D.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that they're, you know, throwing in a 5/5 book, you know, with these levels, I think is really showing that, yeah, they're embracing, they're running with the, you know, the new creative team and everything and really pushing out and saying, you know, we heard you, this is what a lot of people want. This is a new kind of high level play that a lot of people haven't experienced. This is going to be a first really good kind of guide through that. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's pretty cool. And overall, like, I'm all about magic and stuff when it comes to my fantasy games. So having a bunch of different new stuff being added, especially like the living spells, I like that idea. I think that is really cool. Where, you know, something you cast kind of takes on a life of its own, if that's how it's, you know, kind of playing out. I'm excited to get into this. I'm definitely going to be getting the whole pack and bundle and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And then jumping in, a lot of people I know are very excited about some of the new subclasses, some of which are new, some of which are, you know, revised for 5/5. So we are going to be getting the Arcana Domain Cleric, the Arcane Archer, the revised, obviously. Fighter, Warrior of the Mystic Arts Monk, the Vestige Patron Warlock, the Conjurer Wizard, the Enchanter Wizard, the Necromancer Wizard, and the Transmuter Wizard. So the rest of our wizard subclasses coming back in their 5/5 versions.
Finally. Which is good.
It'll be interesting. I know, if I recall, the Arcane Archer was considered kind of weak in 5th edition. So I'm really interested to see what all they changed for that.
Yeah, me too. I did actually play an Arcane Archer in a one-shot, and I found it to be actually pretty good. I was using some decent magical, you know, arrows and stuff. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, I was just chuckling a little bit with the Arcana Domain Cleric. Because the first paragraph in the description is, the Arcana Domain Cleric knows that the shortest route to mastery of the weave is through its god. Why study the secrets of the universe the long way, like the wizard, or hope it randomly bestows its power like a sorcerer, when a little bit of worship can go a long way?
Nice.
And I kind of like that. It's I think that would be, just from a character perspective, a very interesting take on a cleric.
Oh yeah. And especially if you're dealing with, you know, the god or goddess of magic, coming across sorcerers or wizards and stuff, just kind of looking down on them and be like, you really did that wrong. Just, you know, a little praise here and there. That's all that matters.
Yep.
I think that's cool.
No, I like it. And then obviously the Vestige Patron, just from an RP standpoint, is also really interesting because mm-hmm. it's just like, I'm harnessing the power of this dying or dead entity. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, just the storytelling. I just think
it's kind
that.
Of a cool concept.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to go with that too.
Conjurer Wizard always holds a special place in my heart as well, because that was my very first character.
Yeah. And we'll have to see how that kind of came across. Cause I know that we initially had some misgivings with the first UA that we saw with it.
Yeah. They had really made it super just like teleporty,
mm-hmm.
which I wasn't a huge fan of. So I'm interested to see, what like the end case for it, or the end state for it, came up as.
Yeah. And I mean, in the description of it even says, to a conjurer, a summoning is merely another type of teleportation, the relocation of an angel or devil from one plane of existence to another. So they're looking at it still as, you know, teleporty, but it looks like it could potentially have more to it, you know, with
the
conjuration
so.
Into it, as opposed to just, I'm just going to be over there now.
Yeah. It felt a little lacking. So yeah, I'm interested. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on this book for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good player options that I want to see. Okay. So jumping over from that, obviously we have Archon Unleashed Deadfall for those who like running modules, which is a great way to play and run a campaign. There's a great article about it on Wargamer that had an interview and some details as well that we'll link in the show notes. But they're just talking about, you know, it being high level campaigns are a rare thing. The last one was Vecna Eve of Ruin, an ambitious adventure that suffered from thin writing and the occasional balance issues. Obviously, balancing is going to be an issue regardless mm-hmm. when you're running a high level campaign, especially if it's a module, because you can't account for everything. You cannot account for every class type, and you cannot account for every party combination, which is also going to bring its own mix of of complexity into a module.
Yeah, and especially since this one's starting at level 11, if your characters start at level 11, great. You can use that, you know, for Deadfall and go through there. But if you're bringing existing characters in, what's to say that they don't have some insanely overpowered magic item from before or something, or however they built their characters? Maybe they have an extra feat or something that you gave them. So yeah, accounting for everything in D&D is just something that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And that's part of, what's on the DM. As well, right? Because this is not going to be a module you're going to recommend for a first time.
No.
DM.
Definitely.
This is going to be for a DM and or group that has already cut their teeth on fifth edition for a bit, maybe on 5.5 for a bit, and they're looking for something higher level gameplay without having to put all that together themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking from experience as someone who has run a lot of high level stuff, you're going to have to still supplement the module. And they even say it's not a gigantic module. Like, it's 112 pages. So this is not like your Curse of Strahd level book thickness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's, but I love that they're supporting it. We are over 10 years into some iteration of fifth edition. I think we are the time is ripe for higher level stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of introductory things to introductory modules to pull people in, and those who have been playing a little while, especially because a lot of modules don't go past 10 or 12. So I think having more content like this for those who have been around a little bit and are looking to cut their teeth into something more complex or something higher level is a great, great thing to have.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, so we also mentioned this earlier. Gen Con, coming this week as of this recording. This is, you know, the week of June 27th. Gen Con is just a few days away. And D&D has announced that they're doing this crazy D&D tower. So they're taking over this whole theater that is near the Gen Con venue. And they're going to be having all sorts of different events at this place, kind of adjacent to Gen Con. So on Thursday, the 30th, they're going to have this D&D Vision Keynote 2027. So this is going to be just like a, hey, what's coming next? What does the next year look like? On Saturday, they're going to have the Dungeon Masters live play. So if you've been following along on the D&D's, you know, official live play, which has been very good so far, they're going to have a live play of that. They're going to talk about music. They're going to have the 20-sided tavern out. They're going to have something called the puppy roll.
Oh,
that is something they've done a few years now.
Yeah, that. Have you ever watched the puppy roll?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I'm a little sad that Matt Mercer as Omar isn't going to be in it this year, but there's still some pretty good puppies there.
Yeah. They have a D&D carnival going on, and then they have tons of different panels they're going to do. Lessons from the Dungeon, Making Your Own World, five practices for compelling storytelling at your game table, behind the scenes, character backstory is key to boundless adventure, setting is story, hero's journey, snoring on the shoulders of giants, the future of fantasy, how to be a D&D game designer, which is super cool, just to get a lot of the next generation, right? Mm-hmm. Interested, excited about it, how to do it, elevating your gameplay, how to make every turn memorable. So just all sorts of different things. They even have the Dungeon Master University sessions where you can sign up for a special experience designed to help new and aspiring Dungeon Masters take their first steps. So yeah, there's just tons of stuff. There's some live plays, a faster purple worm, defeat the audience, Grim Hollow, Bones of the Empire. That's the one Jason Carl and Ginny D are going to be in. Blackwater D&D. It looks ridiculous. Like, it is just absolutely huge. They're calling it D&D Tower because they're taking over the Indiana Repertory Theater. It's six floors, and there's going to be something on every floor.
Yeah.
I wish I was going.
Yeah. No, you are not the only one. I mean, just floor one and two is just the main stage. And then there's four more floors. That's pretty awesome. I wish I was there for that.
Yeah. So we will certainly have a massive recap next episode for everyone who is not going, which will probably be a lot of you. But I'm excited for all the ones of you who can. And speaking of Gen Con announcements, we had a whoopsie. I think it was a Roll 20 whoopsie.
Yep.
They briefly posted a blog, stating that the pre-orders, were available, which obviously they weren't. Whoops. For a planned official Dungeons and Dragons crossover with World of Warcraft.
Wait,
and
then
the worlds have aligned.
Yeah, because I got into podcasting because of World of Warcraft. So yeah, this is going to be really interesting, bringing Azeroth into D&D, like, officially. I mean, you know, there are people who, you know, play and they set their you know, campaign there because it's a fleshed out world. It's a fantasy world. It's something that you can do and, you know, have fun with it. But the idea of bringing a lot of that lore into D&D and having like stat blocks and things available and stuff for it, I think is pretty cool. I'm actually kind of excited to see what happens with this. And I mean, gosh, I really don't know how it'll work, because a lot of like D&D like 4.0 was based around like kind of video game gameplay, where things had like cooldowns of like, oh, well, I could do this twice. I could do this once a fight. I can do this once a day and things like that. So moving
fourth edition was very designed very based video off of MMOs. Very good.
Yeah. So then jumping in and pulling kind of this environment into a 5.5 environment and everything, I'm again really interested to see where it goes and how it goes. So yeah.
I mean, interestingly, World of Warcraft actually had a tabletop RPG published by Sword and Sorcery Studios that was compatible with 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting that it had kind of its own thing pre-fourth edition, which is then itself based on the video gamey MMO-ish aspects.
Yeah.
So we're almost kind of coming full circle. And honestly, I am not usually the biggest fan of crossovers, like the Fortniteification of everything, like Apex Legends or Call of Duty, or, you know, obviously Fortnite, the OG, pulling in all these, you know, different things, all the crossover events. Obviously, they're big brand marketing, PR, you know, very usually microtransaction laden type things. But I think overall, if you're going to do one of these things, World of Warcraft does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. In fact, I'm just kind of reminded of, let's see, back when Battle for Azeroth came out, there was a celebrity D&D episode that was done. I believe Matt Mercer was the DM on that. And it basically tried to...
Is that the one with Terry Crews?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one where they basically said, you know, hey, this is kind of what the Islands of Adventure or whatever it was called is going to be like, which it was way cooler than what it was in the game. So, yeah, it's the world is completely just ripe for, you know, TTRPG play. In fact, did you ever get a chance to do a Blizzard campus tour?
Hmm. Yes.
Did you get to see the library?
Back in the day, I did get to see the library.
Yeah. So the library looks totally like a medieval, like dungeony library thing.
Yeah.
And there's
very cool.
There's sections, just tons and tons of like TTRPG, like books and everything, different editions of D&D, as well as a bunch of other TTRPGs. So, yeah. I mean,
and video games that the employees can just check out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like an actual library, but very nerdy.
No, oh, yeah, totally. But the thing is, I mean, it really kind of shows that their roots come from that, you know, like the geeky gameplay aspect of a lot of the stuff. And, you know, WoW as an MMO, you know, basically happened because they thought EverQuest was lacking and it wasn't as, you know, adventurous as their TTRPG games. So it's, you know, it makes sense that this is something that's would actually mesh really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I really hope they don't turn D&D into what Magic is right now.
Yeah.
The Universes Beyond is very controversial, to say the least. And obviously I'm not like a massive Magic player or anything. I play the occasional Commander, and that's about as far as my Magic goes. But I do know that they just announced a ridiculous amount of, you know, Universes Beyond, like Star Trek, Stardew Valley, like just all these different things. I mean, heck, they just had a huge Marvel set come out.
Well, look, you know, I'll say this, never played Magic, was tempted to get a Spider-Man deck. So, I mean, on that side of things, it's working.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like I said, it's one of those things. It's obviously making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
Like
the integrity of the game.
Yeah. I know that it is very controversial because there are a lot of Magic players that are very annoyed that they get like one or two actual Magic universe decks a year now, and everything else is just like, here come the hobbits.
But the good news is for D&D players, you never have to buy a book. Like, as long as you've got the, you know, say the three, you're set for life.
That's right.
So if, the World of Warcraft's
very books, different than a card trading card game.
Exactly. If they don't really call to you, you don't have to worry about it.
Yep. But also, if they do become more common, this is, and we were talking about this, D&D Beyond really needs better filter and content exclusion.
Yes.
Options.
Yes, very true. But
because there's definitely, I definitely had a player pull a spell out of something I had never heard of before the other night. And it was just because, someone had shared it with me and that just makes it available to my players, apparently. And I was just like, that is a bit ridiculous.
Oh, that I win spell? You cast this and then the campaign's over and you win?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was in Rick and Morty.
To be fair, it's, it's a 1 minute casting time. So if you do it out of battle, you could just win the campaign.
That's right. There are issues. But I do think this one does make a lot of sense. And I think there is a real rich history on the Blizzard and on the World of Warcraft side. And Ben and myself are big previous World of Warcraft players. He had a very successful, very long, long-lived podcast for World of Warcraft. I played originally in the alpha of World of Warcraft and played that through a very long time. So lots of fond memories of that. And it's cool that they're essentially getting a new TTRPG.
Yeah.
So again, this is still rumored, but Roll20 is an official Wizards partner, so that would be quite the fakey thing. My guess is we will hear more about that during Gen Con.
Yeah, 420 episodes of Azeroth Roundtable, and then another 100 before that in Arcanum of Azeroth. So, yeah.
Played a little bit of WoW.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. But now we play a lot of D&D.
Yeah, there's that too.
Which is also fun and far more flexible.
Yes.
Okay. Whew. A lot of news. Obviously, a lot has happened in the last few weeks. A lot more will happen in the next week or two. So excited to see about that. But now we want to jump into a really great listener question that came in. We've been planning for our next set of episodes. We asked people in our Discord for, hey, what are you guys wanting to know? What are you guys wanting to have talked about and such? And one that really caught my eye that we wanted to cover this week was a listener who said they started re-listening to the podcast, taking some notes, and in episode one,
yeah,
like 7 years ago. That's wild. Episode one, wrap up. Ryan's party fails a timed gauntlet arena, and it is said that it's good for players to lose sometimes. They ask, what is an optimal win to failure ratio in battles, quests, challenges, all of it across the campaign? This phrase helped me pinpoint another origin of frustration with my current game. We rarely win. Have to abandon half the quests as too difficult, forced to take frequent rests, barely survive or escape almost every battle. Even after victories, I don't feel powerful and heroic at all. This is a really good question. Because honestly, this is it's it's just as much art as science.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've said in the past, part of the whole balancing is learning your party and getting to know your party over time. Because the more you do that, the better you can, you know, key in those encounters for your party specifically. I would say if you're looking for like a win to failure ratio, I hope, and obviously, again, this is affected by the player's decision making too. There are times when people are going to mess up, or the dice are not going to go your way, or the players just pick the stupid decision or whatever, or ignore foreshadowing or plot points, or are just overly confident, right? So let's push that to the side, because those are factors that can affect your balance regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
I would say I would expect my players to succeed at least 75 to 80% of the time. Now, the level at which they succeed may be different. Some of that percentage may be really like succeed with flying colors, or succeed so much that they like bypass the encounter completely because their plan was really good and the encounter didn't even happen. And that is a success. That is still a success. Some of those I expect to be, you know, skin of their teeth type successes, where you succeed, you just barely make it, but you can feel good about it, right? Some of those, and then some of the other percentage might be, I barely failed, or I succeeded, but, you know, XYZ bad thing also happened. So it's kind of a, you know, mixed bag of things. And then there will be times when the players fail. And again, that is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, failure can be storytelling, whether it's because of an encounter that they wasn't prepared for, or because the dice are telling a story. Failure is not always a bad thing. And failure doesn't always mean it ends in like a TPK either.
Mm-hmm.
Failure could mean we ran away. And that's fine, because that might have been the smart thing to do. So we didn't win, but we survived, right? Or failure may be
running away could also be the success.
Yeah, running away could be a success as well. So, and failure could mean someone dies. Not the whole party, but maybe a person dies. So, I mean, it's, and obviously failure can end in a TPK. And that's not something that should ever be super common unless you are specifically playing that type of game.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately where it comes back to, is the DM should set the expectations of the type of campaign it is before the campaign starts. This should be a session zero conversation. This should be a, yes, this is heroic fantasy. You'll get to use your cool stuff. It'll be about, you know, overcoming the odds. But I don't expect it to be super deadly all the time. Right. Or this is a dungeon crawl. This is going to be a meat grinder, you know, have with four three backup characters. Yeah. Ready to go. But that's something that should be telegraphed or specifically stated at the very beginning. So if you are playing, and just to address this question specifically, if you are playing in something like this, and this was not the way things were stated, or this was not something that was planned for this type of, we just lose all the time, or everything feels out of reach, or nothing feels completable. That's a conversation that needs to be had with the DM.
Yeah. So, I'll start off by agreeing with you by saying that, yes, this is a session zero discussion. To liken it to video games, I don't play the Souls games because I don't want that sort of frustration. I don't want that sort of, some people call it challenge. That's fine. There's a game out there for someone who loves that kind of stuff. They want to think strategically through every single situation and like min max and, you know, all that stuff. And that's fine. That's one way to play the game. I don't find that sort of stuff enjoyable at all. You know, I get a video game and I'm playing on hard and I'm not having fun. I jump into normal. I'm playing on normal 100%. And it's too hard and I'm not enjoying myself. I drop it to easy. I don't care. It's my free time. I'm choosing how I want to spend it. And that is going to be enjoying it.
Preach.
If I want
it, preach. If that I want is the so challenge, how I feel these days.
Yeah. If I want the challenge, I'll bump it up. You know, that's why there's a sliding scale there. D&D also has a sliding scale. And again, session zero is where you kind of set where that scale is. But even more so, it comes from discussions and communication with between the DM and the party. So to ring the open communication bell again, like we do with every single topic that we have that involves, you know, like, you know, potential friction and stuff, that's where it comes down to. I was in a campaign where it was basically kind of communicated like, oh yeah, you know, I try to have like a living, breathing world and stuff. It's like, okay, this is cool. We started out at level one. We were like four or five sessions in, going into combat pretty much every single session. We had not leveled yet, even though we had enough XP because it was an XP based thing to be level three, almost level four. But because the DM said that, no, you can only level up during downtime. It's like, okay, that might work in a previous system that you used before, but fifth edition specifically, level one is basically, hey, this is your intro session, and then you're leveled by the end of it. And me being the only melee, being a barbarian who, you know, didn't even have access to reckless attack because I was level one, and I had like 8 hit points. I was out in every combat, passed out, gone, died or almost died multiple times.
That's so rough.
Yeah. And it was at the point where it's like, this isn't fun. You know, we don't want to do any sort of combat because we don't have the ability. And it's like, well, you keep following these quest lines that go these places. It's like, no, you are the one controlling everything. You don't make the world and say, this is what it is, and then give us all the breadcrumbs to go to the dangerous places. You adjust it based on how we play. So unless it's, you know, completely communicated in a session zero of, like you said, meat grinder, bring 4 or 5 character sheets with you, it is up to the DM to make sure that everybody is enjoying themselves and having a good time. I'm all for world building and everything like that. You know, I have places that I've made that have, this is my idea of what they're like. Hopefully my players don't go there because there's really high level scary stuff. If I make something so enticing or like a quest available to them that would lead them there, I need to immediately change what that place is. You know, difficulty level, because my characters might not actually be to that point yet. I'm going to go back to video game design. There's a reason why certain quests open up as you level up. It's because you don't have the ability or the strength or something to be able to actually go into that area as a level 2 when it's like a level 20 area or something. You know, it's just like in any sort of D&D game, I'm not going to have my level 3 characters going up against Vecna. You know, one spell wipes out the entire party. Where's the fun in that? So as a DM, it is up to you to responsibly look at what your characters are able to do, their abilities. And if you want to make something challenging, you can. But even on the fly, during combat, you can change it so that it's not an absolute failure 90% of the time.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like you said, it's a telegraphed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we will have a whole discussion topic on static versus variable difficulty coming up here and in one of the next few episodes. But it's that's another expectation to set, right? Is that, hey, we're playing through like a module, right? This is just going to be, the content will level with you.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be how it is. Or this is an open world. There are some areas that are more dangerous than others. I will foreshadow or telegraph or let you know if you're going into a place that is scary. Yeah. Right.
I mean,
or look, like my current campaign, it's in a giant city. And I told the players right off the bat, there are going to be a lot of people that are lower level than you, civilians and whatnot. There are also going to be things that are way stronger than you. And again, I'm going to do my best to foreshadow things and telegraph things, but you're going to have to make the decisions about what mm-hmm. you interact with and how you approach that.
Yeah, but it's not like in the second session, you're going to have the level 14 Thieves Guild interact with them and like pick a fight. It doesn't make sense. One, they would be so beneath that level of attention that it doesn't make sense for that. But on top of that too, again, you're going to give them access to the world, but you know, they visit the map maker and the map maker has the big skull and crossbones over. This is the really scary thing where only, you know, like the best of adventurers can go. And then if they decide to, you know, actually follow that through when they're not ready for it, then you still have something there that's scary and higher level than them, but nothing that you might have originally thought to put there, because, you know, they don't need to walk into a dragon's, you know, lair at level 2 when they can walk into like 2 trolls. That is scary enough at a lower level. So again, it's about adjusting on the fly, knowing what's happening, and being able to, you know, alter and change your plans. I don't know how many times we've said on the show, you can have the most amazing dungeon built and put it on the path for the players. And the second that they turn left instead of right, pick up that dungeon and put it at the end of the left path instead. There's nothing that says you can't do that with the monsters, with your plans, with everything that you've done. Because let's all be honest, that's what DMing is. It's being very adaptable, being able to improvise when you need, and even more so on top of that, making sure everyone is having a good time.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. Unless you are specifically joining a game and playing a game to play a very specific play style, most people, and again, like you said, it's the Dark Souls thing, right? Some mm-hmm. people do enjoy that, and that's how they have fun, right? But for the majority of people, the majority of games, you want to make sure your players are having fun. And if your players are not having fun, one, players, you should tell your DM, because sometimes it's hard to tell, or sometimes you don't know, mm-hmm. or sometimes we're oblivious. But also DMs, I highly recommend check-ins regularly with yeah. your players to make sure that they are having a good time and that you're hitting the right marks and the expectations for the players as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the end of the day, if your players aren't having fun, adjust, ask, get feedback. It's okay to modify things. It's okay to have feedback. It's okay to take constructive criticism. That's how we get better.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, we're all spending our free time, our precious, precious free time doing this game. And at the end of the day, it is a game. And you want the game on the whole. There are obviously going to be times in any story when things are sad or scary or depressing or whatever. But on the whole, it's a game and we want to have fun.
Yeah. And just two points here. D&D is never the DM versus the players. So if that's what your DM is considering or thinking, that it's like, oh, well, I won this round. That's never the way to do it, because guess what? The DM will always win if that's actually the point. But secondly, in that campaign that I was in, we had talked to the DM multiple times about leveling up. And then it finally got to the point where I said, okay, I'm not going to play anymore, because it was not a good time. And a lot of the players were all in agreement of, this is not fun for us. So as I've said before on the show, and as other people have said, no D&D is sometimes better than bad D&D. And I understand that sometimes you don't want to take that step away and you want to be able to play, but if you're not having a good time, what's the point?
Yeah. Yep. We completely agree. Sometimes, and I've talked about that before too. I had a game like that where I eventually ended up stepping away because despite conversations, the DM was being too adversarial. And things were just not fun anymore. And when I get to the point where I'm dreading going to something because, oh, it's just going to be another slog again, or we're just going to lose, or pick any number of reasons. And that's another great topic we'll talk about at some point too, is red flags for game. Kind of getting the teasers of all the things here, but it's a really good discussion, and it's something to be aware of, that if you are to the point where you're not having a good time, it may be time to consider trying something else or going elsewhere.
Yep.
So I hope that answered your question. Thank you so much for sending that in. It is a very important topic for sure. And as a DM, it's sometimes a hard line to walk. It's a hard thing to balance, and it takes time, and it takes skill that is built up over trial and error. And remember, as a DM, it's okay to tell your players, sorry, I messed up, or sorry, that one did not go to my expectations, or sorry, I made that way too hard. It was not supposed to be like that. And so it's all about communication.
Yep, exactly.
It's all about making sure that the players are checking in with you, you're checking in with the players on a regular basis, and at the end of the day, making sure everyone has fun. Okay. So with that out of the way, we wanted to shout out two more small things. One of them is free content, and everybody loves free stuff. There is a new Dungeon Masters. So the show that we talked about earlier, the official D&D live play, there's a Dungeon Masters, new play along pack called Living Spells, which is probably, a teaser for the, Arcana Unleashed. But it is totally free. If you have a D&D Beyond account, we'll have the link in the show notes. You can go click and claim the content for you to keep. It comes with 6 living spell stat blocks: the Evoker, Archmage stat block, Agent of the Ninth Quill, Character Background, Arcane Infiltrator Origin Feat, the Idol of Good Fortune's Evolving Magic Item, and the Ninth Quill Faction Information, including Bastion and Renowned Rewards. So nice little chunk of free content that kind of goes along with the actual play if you're watching as well, but always fun to just get freebies for your campaign to keep.
Yes, very much so.
And also, you may or may not have been around the internet for the last week or two. There is a raccoon that has been making the rounds, who is belovedly called Jimothy, a raccoon with a spinal deformity that he's just a squished boy. He's just a sweet squished boy. And he has captured the heart of the internet. Well, several TTRPGs, including D&D, have decided, oh, this is so fun and great PR. We're going to just work up a stat block for it. And so D&D was one of those TTRPGs that did it. And so there is now a freebie Jimothy, beloved cryptid, stat block. With a cute little quick art thing by one of the employees at D&D Beyond. So we'll have a link to it if it's your thing, if you think it's cute, if you've been following along with the fun, the TikTok videos and all the social media fun of Jimothy. We just wanted to throw that out there because it's cute. Just a cute little raccoon.
Yep. I mean, and with moves like Nibble or Hurl Garbage or Captivate, where you can charm someone. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good stat block for him.
Yeah. Just silly. Okay, cool. We made it, Ben. We're back.
Yes, we did.
We're back in action.
And better than ever.
Back and better than ever.
Well, that's actually up for the listeners to decide. I think we're better than ever.
It just, it's like wine. Just gets better with age.
Yeah. And we're so old. We must be the best.
So old. But enough about how old we are. How about we talk a little bit about what we've been doing in our games? Because
I'm just
that's an
say,
actual fun thing.
Just skip me. I do have a one shot. I have a one shot coming this weekend. One of my players is actually running it. So,
do you know what it's about?
No.
Have you made a character yet?
Yeah, I'm a level 15 monk.
Oh, level 15. See, high level D&D, baby.
Yeah. No idea what's going to happen, but I am a flamekin, and I'm going to be the monk, the way of the elements.
Oh, so your avatar in full avatar.
Yep, probably focusing more on flame, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that sounds super fun. I cannot wait to hear about it.
Yeah. How about you, though? It's been forever since we've checked in with your game because we haven't recorded. So how are things going?
Yeah. I've got two new players that stepped in.
To join.
And that's been really good. We've been just integrating them, worked with them to just get like really good deep backstories for their characters, since you know the world is very lived in. And then kind of hooked that in with contacts, cross-pollination with some of the other things that the current players were doing. All that sort of thing. So we really worked hard to make them feel like characters that didn't just step in out of nowhere, but that had lived, you know, in this world. And the players are currently tracking down an associate of the current kind of big bads. And they spent kind of last session scoping out and planning essentially how to get to this guy and try and capture him. And so there's this very like high end, like pleasure house essentially that this guy goes to every few days. But it is very exclusive and very high end and very hard to get into. And so they spent last session basically prodding all the possibilities, like how to get in, like disguising, going in through the roof, like trying to like bribe their way in or pretend that they're looking for work or doing all these sorts of things. And so they gathered all this information And the really cool, fun twist was that they were having the hardest time figuring out why, over the several days that their characters were kind of watching this place, the same people who went in never came out, but different people always came out.
That's interesting.
And so that was a really fun thing for them. They did a really good job kind of investigating, figuring out, until the moment it clicked that this place was fully run by changelings.
That makes sense. And that is actually really cool.
Yeah, it ended up being super cool. It was very fun. Very fun to see them kind of just go, what? Where are these people going? Like trying to investigate like the sewers, if there was, you know, like a secret exit out of the establishment, or, you know, what is going on? But what better for high-end security than to not be able to know who's who?
Yeah, no kidding.
People come in and out. Yeah, yeah. So it was very cool, very fun. My buddy kind of put me onto the idea of it, and I really loved it a lot. So they're going to be planning, hopefully through our Discord, over the next 2 weeks before our session, because we just had session this past Friday. What option they want to go with, essentially, and then execute the plan and try and capture this dude. So that is going to be our next session, and I'm very excited.
That is very cool.
It should be very fun.
I am really interested to see what they choose, because I mean,
I am too.
Like, are they just going to go and bluff their way into it?
Yeah, they've got 3 or 4 different options that they could potentially do.
Yeah.
And none of them is wrong per se, right? That's the fun thing about a sandbox, mm-hmm. is that none of them is wrong, and they all have potential, you know, advantages and disadvantages, and they're all have potential ways it could work out really well or go horribly wrong. And that's the fun of D&D.
Yes. All right. Well, it sounds like a blast. So
I will report back when that happens, because I'm very excited to do that. And I'm also excited to hear about your one shot, whatever this mystery one shot is.
Just quick follow-up question. Are any of your players a changeling?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, because that can make it really interesting.
The one who kind of was is the one that died.
Oh, no. but on top of that, though, that leads into even more potential storytelling based off of them. That's cool, too.
There's definitely one of the characters has some connections to the establishment through an ancillary partner.
Okay.
As well. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see how it all goes down. I'm very excited.
That's awesome.
Very excited. But that will be for another episode. And until then, I think that will wrap things up for us. Again, thank you everyone so much for your patience while life happens. We're glad, we're excited to finally be back recording and hopefully back on our normal every other week track. So as always, thank you, Ben. And why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached?
You bet. So as we mentioned before, we did have a question come in from a listener, and that question was asked in our Discord. Now, if you want to join our Discord, it's a great little community. We have a bunch of people in there telling us about, you know, their games, asking questions, sharing memes, just lots of fun. You can always find a link to that on our website, which is dndiscussions.com is the website. Now, if you're kind of shy, don't really want to say anything, you know, in Discord with a bunch of people there, you can always reach out on Blue Sky. The show is at DN Discussions. Ryan's at TBK Zord. I'm at Ben Bumhofer. Or, you know, if that's still a little too public, you can always email us. Send those to dndiscussions@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments about the show, or, you know, just tell us stories about what's going on in your game. We'd love to hear about all of that stuff. If you're sitting here listening, like, what do these guys know about playing Dungeons & Dragons? Sure, they talked about it a whole bunch, and Ryan just told them about his game. What about Ben? Well, I'm on a show called Plus 5 to Hit. It's an actual play podcast where we are wheeling and dealing and doing some fun stuff. So check out Plus 5 to Hits wherever your podcasts are played. I was going to say sold, but we don't sell it, so played. That works. This show, though, D&D Discussions, everybody, thank you so much for your support. Listeners, thanks again for your patience. We really appreciate it. We think you guys are tops. Ryan, you're pretty cool, too. Thanks for joining me this episode.
I think the same of you.
Oh, well, thanks. And then with that, everybody, until next time, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care. I didn't find my mute button.
I'm like, God. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. You forgot what he says.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.